You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome all you listeners wherever you are. If you're on the radio at home or in your car or listening on the internet, we greet you and welcome you here today, and we just praise God for you listening in, and I hope you learn something from what you're going to hear today about our situations going on in our lives and plus our country. And God's got all His answers for us, doesn't He, Pastor Donna, in the Word of God. So we're just honored to be here with you, and so I hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. A lot of you know that because you listen week after week, but somebody new's listening today, I know, has never listened before. So we're on from 12 noon until 1 every Saturday afternoon, and we've been on here, Pastor Donna, for what? 19 plus years. It's hard to believe we've been on the radio, but it's been an honor to be here, and we do a lot with the Jewish roots and the understanding that God's given us in the Word of God, that the church has been robbed of our understanding of what God gave the Jewish people. Basically, it's the Jewish roots, but they were given to Israel, and they're Jewish, and so we've been grafted in, if we're born again, so we're a part of that, so we need to embrace and honor all these things that we're talking about as we go through these programs every week, that you might understand some deeper things in the realm of the Spirit, with the Bible, what God wants us to know, because we are in the last of the last days. So, Pastor Donnie, you might have a couple announcements you want to make there, and then we'll do a little teaching here with everybody today. Hallelujah, the time that we have. It goes by so fast every week, doesn't it?
Every week.
We get started, boom, you got to quit.
It seems like we go from Sabbath to Sabbath, and the week is just flies by.
That's right.
Well, we are blessed to be on here, and I want to mention also that we're on the internet, and I'm going to give the call number there for that in just a minute so you can get out a pencil or a pen and also give our telephone number.
Mm-hmm.
But this radio broadcast goes around the floor, listen to me, around the world.
Around the world, plus Florida too, yeah.
And around the Florida world. As well, yeah. Yes. And, so it's actually the whole station is 24/7 round.
That's right, thank God.
Round the clock, and so mm-hmm. we're blessed to be on WCNO.com, and that's what you would go to, WCNO.com, mm-hmm. and you can listen to it at any time. You can also replay programs that you like, mm-hmm. including this, Raising the Standard. So if you like what you're hearing and you didn't get to hear all of it, or you'd like to hear it again, you can go to WCNO.com and go to their program guide. Go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton at 12 o'clock noon.
Sure.
And so that's a blessing for us as well. Plus, we're also here on the local radio program, FN Station, 89.9.
That's right.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank the Lord for that. So keep that radio station in prayer. And also, if you'd like to help support, it costs money to be on there.
Sure
it's not
does.
Free. So you would like to send an offering, we're going to give that address as well. And I also want to mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. Pastor Gene likes to call them meetings.
We're meeting with God, aren't we? Yes.
That's right. Every time we come together, we want to hear from the Lord. That's why the name of the church is called Spirit of Prophecy. And that Lord gave that to Pastor Gene many, many years ago. And it comes out of Revelation 19:10, where it says, "Worship God." That's why we come together. worship God, for the testimony of Jesus or Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Revelation 19:10. So we come together every Friday night for Shabbat.
Amen.
And that's the beginning of the Sabbath, and we honor the Sabbath because the Bible told us to
remember the Sabbath.
He has asked us to do that, and so it is a blessing when you honor the Sabbath, because God wants to give rest to His people.
Amen.
And that means not just the Jewish people or not just Israel, but it means anyone who calls on the name of the Lord.
Whoa, yes.
Anyone who has made Jesus their Lord and Savior. He wants to give us rest. That started way back before the law.
That's right.
And it has never changed. The Sabbath day means seven.
That's right.
And so seven never, when it's seven, it's seven. It doesn't change to eight. Now,
that's right.
Sunday would be the eighth day or the first day.
First day of the next week.
First day of the week.
Yeah.
So we come together also on Sunday.
The first day of the week.
The first day of the week,
yeah.
Which is at 10 a.m. And then we also come together today, which is Saturday, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And this afternoon we will be watching a video by
Bill Cloud.
Bill Cloud.
It's called The Locusts Are Coming.
Right.
It's a really good message.
The Locusts Are Coming. So that will be at 4 o'clock, and then we will close out the Sabbath with a meal, and we will close out with the prayers. And so that
Amen.
Will be today, starting at 4 o'clock. Amen.
Come and join us if you like.
Come and join us if you can.
Come
visit us
yeah.
Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, 3 days.
Right? Yeah.
We'd love to have you come visit us, or give us a call, and let us know how you like this program, and if you would like to speak to Pastor Gina or myself, or if you'd like to put in a prayer request, or you'd like to, you know, send an offering to the radio ministry. So I'm going to give you first the address. The address is Post Office Box. Well, it would be Spirit of Prophecy.
Right.
Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Or you can call us at area code 772-285-7007.
Thank you, Lord.
That's area code 772-285-7007. I want to say hello to you out there. I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey over on
Andros
Island, building a church. They've been in a tent for many, many years.
Yeah.
And the tent has had a lot of wear. And so the building is going up. The buildings are up all the way around.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
He just sent us some new pictures, didn't he?
Yes, the blocks are up. And we're in the next step. Will be the next step they go. You know, one step at a time. That's how we do it. One step at a time. By faith, they're building this building. So if you've ever been to, if you're from the Bahamas, or if you've ever been to the Bahamas, or you ever been to Andros Island, and you want to help build this apostolic and prophetic church, they certainly could use some funds for the next step of the building.
Because, right.
you know, they don't have all the money. It's not all sitting in the bank.
That's right.
They're building this
by faith.
By faith.
That's right.
And so we are helping them to... with the finances to buy the things that's needed to build the building.
We're honored to be part of them, and they're part of us, and it won't be long we'll be starting to put the roof on. Amen.
And they're an apostolic and prophetic team.
Amen.
And they preach and teach the full truth of God.
Hallelujah.
From the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, the whole book.
That's right.
And they also teach the feasts of the Lord. And bringing the people into knowing all about what the Lord says in His book.
And all the prophetic aspects that's involved with all that, you know. So
moving the gift of prophecy.
Right.
Anointing, and healing.
That's right.
So you might want to, if you are going there, and you might want to stop by. Look for the walks.
That's right.
It's called the Temple of God on Andros Island.
On Conch Sound.
They're on Conch Sound. And their name is Walks, WALKES.
They're walking that island for the glory of God, declaring and decreeing the things that God wants to have done on that island. And Lord, we thank you for everything that they've already declared. You're working on their behalf, and we see it in the Spirit. Things will be done the way you want it done. And so let them be patient, walk with you, not get ahead of you, and don't lag behind either way. So we thank you. They're in your perfect will at this time, and so we release that to them, that they'll accomplish everything that you sent them over there for. And they've been there for quite a few years already. So we're honored to be a part of those. So we just lift them up before we thank you for it in Yeshua's name.
Amen. They have the shalom of God. That means they have the peace of God.
And sure
they
do.
Trust.
See,
everything that we do, we have to trust God for whatever it is, whatever it is that is needed. We have to trust the Lord because He will provide.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. And so the Bible is so important. If we just... we teach out of the King James Bible. We believe this is the Bible everybody ought to be in, but a lot of people aren't. We're missing out on some things. But anyway, the Word of God is so powerful. And I just love Leviticus chapter 23, which gives us basically there was 8 appointed times. The first one is the Shabbat, Sabbath. But then we have 7 appointed times revealed there. They're God's appointed times. They're His. And they were all put in place. There was a historical event that happened. We know that. But God connected up with the prophetic realm, wanted us to see the spiritual things that's going to happen in the future. So they're all about one person and one person only. And His name is who? Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. That's what it's all about. Those 7 appointed times. 4 have already been fulfilled. The last 3 will be in the latter part of the year. We know the time of the year that's going to happen. We just don't know what year we're on, do we, Pastor Doug?
So we say Shabbat Shalom. Shalom. That means Sabbath, peace. God wants us all to have peace. And, and be even be... before the Lord spoke, before God spoke to Moses about in the Ten Commandments, when he gave him the Ten Commandments, he said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. They always knew about the Sabbath.
Sure.
They knew about the Sabbath from the beginning of time.
Genesis chapter 1.
Adam knew about the Sabbath.
That's right.
And Eve knew about the Sabbath.
That's right.
So the Sabbath has never changed.
Nope.
And he reminded Moses, he says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy.
A lot of the church thinks Sunday's the Sabbath. It's not. Sunday is the beginning of the week. If it was an 8th day, that would be the 8th day. But it's day 1 of a new week. And so Saturday closes out a week. And so the 7s are amazing how God uses the 7s to show us things, the completeness of God. Amen. So we're honored to be here with you today on another program. And so I'm going to talk about some things over in 1 Kings chapter 18. And, I think about where our country's at today and all. And we can't blame everything on the political arena. There's a lot of things wrong there, we know that. But we can also blame ourselves as a church at large because we've let a lot of things happen.
That's right.
We haven't stood up for the truth and all this. And, when abortion came, now we got this thing with same-sex marriage and all the things we got going on in this country that's an abomination to God. Well, the church hasn't stood up and really, the leaders that we see on TV, the ones that are in high positions that God's put, they're not coming before the people and even on television and radio and declaring, these are abominations, and they don't want to say it's sin. It is sin. And so we can't blame it all on our country. It's because we've allowed a lot of these things to happen because the church is not where it's at. What we have to do is lay down all of our denominational barriers. One believes this, one doesn't believe that. And I was thinking today, there's some denominations that won't even believe what it says in Hebrews chapter 6. There's one of the doctrines in the beginning there that Paul talked about. One of them's laying on of hands. They don't believe you should lay hands on anybody, okay? And so there's just a lot of things that we have walked away from. But see, God wants us to be what? Unified.
This church isn't united in the truth of God.
That's right.
God's word.
It has to be united.
They've come along with the world. And, like you talked about the Bibles, they've even written new Bibles. And they've changed the meanings of the words.
That's right. Perverted it.
And they've made them look like, these sins are okay. Or, God's not. God just turns, it's like in the Old Testament. Remember when when he told him to go into the building, or this is in Ezekiel, I believe it is.
And the temple.
The temple and the look. And they were doing things in the temple that were an abomination.
That's right.
And
graffiti
what happened,
on the walls.
And what
all
happened?
Stuff. Yeah.
Terrible things. Worse than the Spirit of God left.
That's what it says.
It says the Spirit of God left that place. And and then that's what happened. If the sin continues and gets worse and worse and worse, what happens? The Spirit of God will leave.
That's right. He hates sin. He doesn't, and he's not going to tolerate it. And so you see over there where he finally just lifted off the threshold of the temple and left. And you think about it, the presence of God wasn't in that place again because this was during the captivity. The presence of God wasn't there until the day that Yeshua came and when he was in his ministry between 30 and 33 years old, 33 and a half years old, when he went into the temple of God, that's when the presence of God was there. Otherwise, it wasn't there. When they did the Day of Atonement, there was no ark. There was none of those things. So what did they do? They go behind the curtain and just throw blood around. I don't know what they did. Okay. So everything was out of order. Well, we got a lot of things today that's out of order with the church. We got all these different thoughts. One believes this, one believes that. Why can't we just knock all that down? Just say, the Lord, you said, this says it in your word. I believe it. I put it in my heart, and that settles it. And no doctrinal differences whatsoever between denominations. That's what we got to get to.
They don't believe in God's word. They don't believe in the power of this word.
Yeah.
They don't believe that God will do things. It says that you know, God is, he gets angry with sin. And he took care of things in the Old Testament.
Sure did.
Even in the New Testament, he took care of things.
Ananias and Sapphira is a good example, right? And they lied to the Holy Ghost.
Right, so people can't say that things don't happen in the New Testament. It even says that things are going to happen in the end times as things get worse and worse, as sin abounds. Well, it's going to get darker and darker. So we better have more light, and so that we can bring people to the Lord. Because all these things that are filling up, it says the cup of iniquity is what? It's filling up. It's filling up. It's about ready to spill over.
That's right. Just about
and
to the end.
And when you have churches that are ordaining homosexuals and they think it's okay, and they preach it and they ordain it and they marry them, you know, well, then what happens? That's not in the Word of God. You're actually coming against the Word of God in holy matrimony.
That's right.
And killing babies. Abortion.
That's, right. That's an abomination.
It's
to God.
A wonder that it says, you know, said that the blood of
cries out.
The blood cries out from the ground. Yeah. The blood of one person cries out from the ground, like it did
when Cain killed Abel.
Cain killed Abel.
Abel's blood
if
cried out.
If the blood of one person cries out, what do you think it must be like in the ears of God?
With 60
of
million.
The blood of millions of children.
In this country alone, yeah.
And the blood of millions of children that are being killed daily and that are being used for terrible things.
That's right. And we even got believers today that claim to know Jesus. They accept those things. You know, mm-hmm. What's the law? No,
that's terrible.
When we stand against it. Same thing with the homosexual issue and the same-sex marriage and all that. We have to stand against it and stand up. You know, it's incredible what we have. And we don't hear that. You know, even in the conventions that they just went through, we don't hear anything about God at all. One man talked about God, and that was
Ben Carlson
talked about Jesus Christ when he was up there that night. That's the only one that said anything about God whatsoever. If you remember the last election, when they had the Democratic convention, they asked about God and they were booing. They didn't want nothing to do with God. Well, that's where we're at. We've taken him out of all the fabric of our country, and that's what's happened. So we're going to look at some things here in 1 Kings chapter 18 that Elijah had to deal with Israel. And you think about, why is Israel having all their problems today that they have today? Because they were disobedient to God way, way back. And he told them if they would obey him, that they'd have the fat of the land, they'd be the head and not the tail, and God would protect them. But they disobeyed the word of God. And so he said, I'm setting before you today, life and death you choose. Well, they chose death. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And so this is the reason why they're in the place they are today. If they would have obeyed God, everything would have been wonderful. But they didn't. So you and I, Don and I, all of you who listen to the radio, if you know Jesus, we are required by the Lord to obey his word. It's not a suggestion, okay? And like the Ten Commandments are not multiple choice, these are commandments that God expects us to do. And so we have to walk in that place. And if we deviate from that, well, then we're how can the blessings of God follow us? You know, we're asking out here, I see these bumper stickers, God bless America. Why don't we change that and say, America, bless God. Begin to bless God. Do it in his way and things would change in our land. But we don't want that. We're going along with all the things what everybody else in the world's doing. And God says, no, 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 no. That's not what I want. So we're going to see a man here that stood up for the righteousness of God. And it's incredible when we see what happened with all this and the examples. And we can see some real prophetic implications to all this that we can apply to our lives and think about where we were at today individually and also with the country. You know, Elijah was a righteous man, wasn't he, Pastor Don? He was a good man. So I'm going to go to chapter 18.
And, you know, we can thank God that there is a remnant.
That's right. And
in
good
the
ones.
Land. There is a remnant.
That's
in
right.
The land that are seeking truth and seeking holiness. Because it says, be holy. God said, be holy as I am holy. So there are people, there's a remnant that's seeking truth and holiness. And so we just need to continue to pray and trust the Lord.
Right.
And go ahead and be that example.
That's right.
We have to be an example. You know, there are examples in the Bible of many, many different people's
lives.
You
got it. That's right.
And so we look at Jesus Christ. He's our example.
Yes.
But as we walk this life, we are an example.
Yeah.
King James says we are an example. Mm-hmm. Two different words, very
that's
close.
That's right.
very closely related, but Christ is our example. He's the one and only example.
Right. The perfect one.
But you and I, as we walk this life and we see people, we are an example, but we have to be an example of who?
Of Jesus Christ. So I always talk about people, you know, when you're around people that really walk with Jesus, you know, they make a stain on your life and mm-hmm. that can't be removed. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need. So instead of having a remnant, we want to have a multitude, knowing Pastor Don.
Amen.
Not just a remnant that's walking with God, but a multitude that's walking with God. And if we do, the fabric of this country can change.
And there are hundreds and thousands of children that are being raised today that have never been in church.
That's right.
And so, you know, we need to have an explosion of salvation with, you know, these young people.
That's right.
Because many of them have just tried many things. And then there's a whole lot of younger ones, little ones, you know, in kindergarten, in first grade, in elementary, in middle school, that have never, ever been to a church. Their parents haven't raised them in a church.
Don't know a thing about God.
But God can cause an explosion of His Spirit.
That's right.
And they can be touched and be saved and be born again.
So what we need is a great major awakening and a revival. But I've said this all along for years. Until we have true repentance in our land, uh-huh. there won't be a revival come. People have to repent and say, gosh, I've been living the wrong way, Lord. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to turn my life over to you, and things will change, and it will. And you'll be a holy person before Him. So yeah. Let's go over here to 1 Kings 18. You know, Elijah was a man of God. He was incredible. Now, I can't read all this, but there's a lot of it I'd like to read. I want to go over here and start in verse 17 of 1 Kings 18. Let's just read some scriptures here as we go along. The Lord will probably just speak to us as we do this. Let's do this. Verse 17 says, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Well, he wasn't the one. Elijah wasn't troubling Israel, was he? Who was it?
Ahab.
It was the leadership,
was.
Ahab. All right? He was a terrible king. Now, and he answered, and Elijah answered and said, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed after Baal." Balaam. Well, think of that's Balaam.
Balaam. Well,
think about it.
And we talked about that last week.
That's right.
That's part of our reading.
Yeah. So you think about what happened here, you know, it wasn't Elijah was troubling them. It was the leadership that was troubling. So we got a situation in our country right now. Our leadership is leading us the wrong way. And so we need to have some men and women of God to stand up and say, hey, we're going to keep God's commandments.
So they were following the wrong doctrine.
That's right. They sure were. And so let's go on now. Now, therefore, verse 19, "Send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." See, Ahab was the king of Israel, and he married a pagan woman by the name of Jezebel.
He was married to
Jezebel. Polluted that. And so here we are. So they're looking. There was 450 prophets of the groves, okay? And there was what? 450 prophets of the groves, and 400 which eat at Jezebel's table. So it was 850 people altogether. Isn't that incredible? And so he was challenging them to do the right thing. This is incredible. So when he talks about the prophets of the groves, they worship Ashtoreth in those, under those trees and all that. And so we see this. Now it makes me think when I read this the other day. Last time I went to Israel with a good friend, I went up there all by myself. I drove up to Mount Carmel. Got up on the top of that mountain. It was a windy, kind of rainy day. I looked out across that valley. And I was almost brokenhearted thinking about all the things that happened to Israel down through the years and all, and even what's going on in our country at this time. And so what did I do? I got my cell phone on. I called my wife, and I called, and she was at church. And we prayed for Mount Carmel, didn't we, honey, while I was over there? And we did. We prayed. We prayed for Israel. We prayed for things to change in Israel and also in our country as well. And so here's a man that had the strength to do that. He called them and challenged them as we look at this, we go on with this. That's what we have some men today and women today in the body that'll raise up. We don't want a remnant. We want a multitude of these men and women to raise up. Now, verse 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people. This is an important verse. Came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Well, what's that word halt mean? Two different thoughts, okay? And that's what I mean, halts.
Mm-hmm.
And how long halt ye, it means you all, between what? Two opinions. You know, which one are you going to follow?
Falter,
yeah.
Double-minded.
If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I alone remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Well, see, he thought he was all by himself. But there was a lot of prophets that God had that weren't well known at that time that was going to be raised up. We have a lot of prophets in the land today, don't we, Pastor Donna? They go about the work of the Lord unassumingly. Those are the ones we need to have them stand up in all their congregations and all and speak the truth and to stand on it. That's what we have to have.
Maybe those prophets that were in the background, maybe they were afraid.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, here we have one prophet, Elijah, who was bold.
He sure was
and
bold.
And he speaks and he challenged them.
He sure
challenged
did.
These prophets of Baal.
Yeah. Now, verse 23 says, Elijah says, let them therefore give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces. So that means blood had to be shed.
Mm-hmm.
And lay it on wood. I thought about the cross. You know, Christ was, his blood was coming out all over, and it was laid on a piece of wood, a cross.
And put no fire under it.
That's right, no fire. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it, okay? And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So they want to do it, amen?
I agreed. Sound like a fair deal.
Yeah, fair deal. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods. See, they were many. He was there all by himself.
Many gods.
That's
and,
right.
And there were many gods.
That's
too.
Right.
He says, see, that's an S there.
That's right.
Gods.
And so he was all by himself against these many gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock, which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass.
He didn't tell them to leap.
Yeah, but they did.
But they're out there jumping up and down.
Yeah, wait till you see they got more.
They're up there jumping up and down, thinking that that's going to move their God, right?
That's right.
And yet, no answer.
No answer.
He said, well, you think our dead God's going to answer you?
That's right.
He's a dead God.
That's right. And then it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud. For he is a God, either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure. He sleepeth and must be awakened. Says, where is your God at?
So they jumping up and down, right?
Now this next verse is terrible what they did.
They
next.
Cried aloud.
Yeah, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out of them. They started cutting themselves. They think the blood was going to do something.
You know, people do that still today, Pastor Gene?
Yep.
People get that. The enemy comes, the devil,
sure.
And people cut their skin.
That's right.
For the blood to come out.
And a lot of these pagan religious groups, they kill animals and shed blood too. That blood's not going to do one thing for them. Only one blood will do anything for us. That's the blood of Christ.
But you think about the young people.
Oh, yeah.
That will cut their skin.
Yeah.
And make marks on it.
They do it.
And they draw blood.
That's right.
So and this here, this is a pagan thing. So they're yep. doing it. People nowadays are doing a pagan thing.
That's it. You got it.
Now,
verse 29 is a key verse, too. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. This was 3 p.m. in the afternoon. God showed. See, God told. We'll read over here in a moment. God told Elijah exactly what to do. So that.
And they're false prophets.
That's right.
Prophesying. They're prophesying. They're prophesying, but they're falsely prophesying.
That's right. At the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regard. Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
And so Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down.
They were worn out.
Yeah. Those people were worn out by noon, jumping up and down.
By 3 o'clock.
Right. But see, we have to repair the altar of God. We have to come back to God. Get back to him. This is what has to be. We have to repair the void that we have in our country, that we're not lifting up God like we ought to and giving him credit for everything. And so they had to repair the altar. Now verse 31 says, and Elijah took 12 stones. Here we got 12 stones. 12 represents what?
Government.
Government.
So I believe it represents the tribes.
That's right.
The different, there were 12 tribes
12
originally,
tribes.
And there always have been, and there always will be.
That's right.
Go ahead.
And it says, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Okay.
And
what was Israel's name? What was his name before that?
Jacob.
Okay. Yeah. Now, when the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. That's a lot.
and he put the wood in order. Here we got referring to the cross. He put the wood in order.
There was an order to it.
There's an order, just like Yeshua, and cut the bullock in pieces. So they sacrificed the bull. Blood came out again and laid him on the wood. It's a picture of Yeshua, and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt off sacrifice and on the wood. Now the water to me was reminds me of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. We have to be saturated with the Word of God. That's the only way we're going to change.
We got to be wet. With
really
God,
wet.
We got to be soaked. But here, literally though, this sacrifice, this wood was wet.
It sure was.
You know, wet wood doesn't start a fire.
Nope.
And you got to have dry wood or twigs. You know, but
that's
here
right.
They had a wet sacrifice and they had wet wood.
That's right. Now, the interesting thing here, verse 34 says, he told him, he says, do it the second time.
More water.
And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. Why three times? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now remember, at the beginning of this chapter, it says there was a famine in the land. I wondered, where did the water come from? There was a famine in the land. It hadn't rained.
Also, Pastor Gene, if you add those barrels up, it comes to 12.
That's right. That's
four
it.
Each, four three times.
That's right.
So here you have 12 barrels, one for each of the tribes,
that's
right?
It. Mm-hmm.
So we have 12 barrels of water. That's been
right.
poured now on the sacrifice.
On this wood and all. Yeah,
and
right.
on the wood.
That's right. And then verse 36 says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, this was 3 p.m. between the two evenings, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. He told him exactly
at
what to do.
At thy word.
Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stone. Just got it all.
And the dust.
And licked up the water that was in the trench.
See, the trench was full of water.
Sure was.
It wasn't just, it was so much water that it overflowed, and it made a trench of water.
That's right.
You know, how are you going to start a fire in a trench of water?
That's right.
Everything
is
soaked.
That's right.
But with God,
the fire
all
of God
things
did.
Are powerful.
That's
the
right.
The fire of God, the consuming fire of God fell.
That's right.
And consumed the burnt sacrifice.
Ooh.
And the wood.
Mm-hmm.
And the stones.
That's right.
The stones. Those 12 stones. Those stones that
it takes
it was
a lot
upon.
Of heat to burn up stones. Yeah.
Stones and the dust.
Mm-hmm.
What was left. And licked up the water that was in the trench. There was absolutely nothing left.
So I thought about this water. You know, here we have the altar of God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture of Yeshua being sacrificed. And we got water all around that altar. Well,
mm-hmm.
To me, that's the Word of God. We have to surround ourselves completely with the Word of God to be saturated with that, and then we're going to walk a holy life with the Lord.
We have to allow the Lord to burn up
everything
that's within us that's not
right.
of God. Well, see, also, Pastor Gene, when this fire burned up all those things, those stones weren't left there for the enemy to come and build an altar on.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The stones were gone as well. Everything was gone.
It was barren. Burnt.
It was barren. The dust. It was like
even the dust.
If you could look out and you could see that flat place, everything was gone. Everything
no trace
gone.
Of anything.
No trace.
Right? That's right.
No trace for the enemy to come back and say, oh, well, you know, that worked for them on those stones. Let's build another fire and we'll do it on those stones and call out to our God.
Yeah.
No, God didn't leave anything for
that's
the
right.
enemy to... And we, you know, that's a picture too. We can't leave anything in our lives for the enemy to come and to build on. Because if we leave something in our lives that's not right, what does the enemy do? He comes and he builds on it.
Sure does.
See, the enemy would like to come back maybe 50 years from now, 100 years from now, and go back to that place. Well, Elijah did this here at this place. So we can go back and do this here. The stones are still there.
Yeah.
Let's just go and get some more wood and let's see what we can do. Well, when we allow some things of the spirit or things that are wrong in our life to remain, it's something that the enemy can come back and build on.
Sure can.
It's like having
we got a door open.
We got a door open for the enemy to come in to what? To what? Kill, steal, and to destroy.
That's right. So we have to remember, you know, God has an order in everything.
We got to get rid of it. We got to get rid of all the ites in our life.
That's right.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
You want to get rid of all of the demonic powers that have been tormenting you or your family or your generation or, you know, a lot of these things are generational curses that come down from your family line.
That's right.
And, you know, you can't help it. You were born in that family. And so there's generational curses. Well, we can stop that. And keep it from going on to the next generation.
Hallelujah. That's right. So we have to take authority over it, don't we?
We have to get the enemy out. We have to kick him out the door. It's just like Jesus spoke. He spoke to Peter when Peter was speaking to him. But the enemy was speaking through Peter. He wasn't actually talking to Peter. He was speaking to the spirit that was speaking to Peter that was speaking to him. He said, "Get behind me, Satan."
That's right. Yep. He didn't have the thoughts of God, but of man, didn't he? That's right.
That's right.
So it's interesting we think about all this. So I kept thinking about this water this week around that altar that they cleansed and put back in place. So we have to surround ourselves with the washing of the water of the Word. That water represents the Word and also the Holy Ghost, the moving of the Spirit around us to keep us in that safe place. Now, verse 39 is a key word. Read that, honey.
"And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God.'"
Wouldn't it be something if...
The God,
that's
one
right.
God.
The only God.
He is the God, not
that's
gods like they had before. Now we have. So that means all the people, even though the false prophets, they all did it. "And Elijah said unto them, 'Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape.'"
That's right.
"And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there."
That's right.
So he slew them false prophets.
That's right.
"And Elijah said unto Ahab, 'Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain.
So if we repent, come back to God and do the things that needs to be done in our country, there's going to be a rain come.
We're
there's
going to
be
rain
a renewal.
Of heaven.
That's right. A rain of heaven's going to come.
A sound of an abundance of rain.
That's right.
Elijah said that. Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, and drink, for there is a sound." There's a song about that, abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees.
Incredible, huh?
"And said to his servant, 'Go up now, look towards the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again seven times.'" There's your seven.
For a completion of this, yes.
There's your seven.
Mm-hmm. But we'll go on in a moment, but I was thinking about verse 39. Wouldn't it be something if God could do something with this nation? I hope it won't be some tragedy that everybody would fall on their faces.
Yes.
And say, "God, we need your help.
Yes.
We can't do this. We've been so wrong.
Yes.
We repent." Wouldn't it be wonderful to see something like that happen? That would happen. Instead, we're mocking God. We want him out of all the fabric of our country, with our schools, the courts, everything. It's incredible what we have. And so,
you know, Pastor Gene, it's interesting you just said that, because the election is going to be November the 8th. Okay. And the Bible Marathon, which will be number, 16?
Right. Starts on the
9th. 16th year Bible Marathon will start on the 9th.
The next day.
And wouldn't it be something? Because if I'm praying that Trump will be the president, because he has surrounded him. I know there's a lot of you are saying, "Oh, I don't like him." Well, do you like? Do you like the Clinton? Do you like her?
You're just
not going to vote.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't vote, you're voting anyway, because
that's right.
you're giving away your vote to the enemy. So you best go out and vote. We should vote. And so I'm going to know where I'm going to cast my vote. You know. So if Trump, and I'm hoping, is the president, he has been surrounded with a lot of Christians that you all listen to on TV or
on
the radio
that's
all
right.
the time.
All
Copeland.
The time. That's right.
I'm going to get the list of the names, and I'll mention them next week. There's about 30, 40, I don't know how many there are, but big ministries that follow after truth and God. And so if that day, the first day that he takes the oval office, becomes the president, that day afterwards, what, and we're going to have that Bible marathon, what if the people would that day, there would be a call to prayer?
That's right.
That's the day after the Bible marathon.
Wonderful,
that's the first day. The first day of the Bible marathon will be on November the 9th.
That's right. Be wonderful.
So wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
And that they would call on the name of the Lord.
That's right. That's
call
what we have
on
to
God.
For. That's right. So we just left off. Donna just read verse 41.
We talked about seven times. 43.
Yeah.
"There is nothing. And he said, 'Go again seven times.'"
That's right.
Here we got God's number again. You know, God repeats and redoes a lot of things with sevens, doesn't he?
That's right.
How many times did they walk around Jericho?
Seven times.
So he tells them to go seven times. Why do you have to repeat himself and do this seven times? Well, because God said to.
That's right.
And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, what if you wouldn't have gone back the seventh time? Well, it's foolish of me to go back up, climb up that mountain again.
I didn't see anything out there the first six times. Yeah.
I got to go climb up there again?
Yeah.
That, you know, that's what your mind would tell you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, uh-huh.
He says, behold, there arises a little cloud.
Out of the sea.
Like a man's
hand. That's how small it was.
The hand of God. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds. See, God can send the rain whenever he wants.
Sure can.
With clouds and wind. And there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. The hand of the Lord. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel.
So Elijah outrun a chariot.
He outrun
the strength that God gave him.
Because the hand of the Lord was upon him.
That's right. Now let's read the first
Probably the hand of the Lord picked him up and shoom,
He was transported.
By the Spirit.
That's right. Let's read the first three verses of chapter 19, honey, now.
Okay. Go ahead.
It says in chapter 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done.
Yeah.
And withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So she put fear on him. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. If you study it out, he was under a juniper tree, went into a cave, and he was... remorseful and just, you know, God just did all this miracle for him, and here he is in this cave, you know.
After all that, he's going to let one woman scare the pants off of him.
That's right. Like God's saying, what are you doing in the cave, Elijah? Get out of that cave, you know.
Well, that shows us how strong the spirit of Jezebel is.
That's
right. And, you know, the spirit of Jezebel
is still around today.
It wasn't just a woman's name. Jezebel is a spirit. And so that spirit is still scaring people today and causing, wanting them to run into a cave and hide.
That's right. Well, it's in the book of Revelation, and it was talked to the church.
It says that you have what? It talks about that. Maybe we should go there.
Well, you go ahead and finish reading. I'll turn it over there.
Okay.
To Revelation.
You want me to go? How far do you want me to go?
I was thinking about, go down through verse 8. We'll stop there. We'll go over here to Revelation.
Verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a Jupiter tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Oh, that sounds like Job, doesn't it?
Oh my, yeah.
Uh-huh.
After all that, what God did.
That sounds like, who was it that went to Nineveh? Job also.
Jonah was another one.
He was, you know, he wasn't too happy. And he was a prophet as well.
That's right.
And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, then an angel touched him, mm-hmm, and said unto him, arise and eat.
That's right.
God had to send an angel. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals. Well, the fire was already there, and the
already
cake.
There.
And a cruse of water at his head,
mm-hmm,
and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Well, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.
That's right.
I guess running that much got him worn out.
Got him worn out and hungry.
He arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meal 40 days and 40 nights. That's a miracle.
That's right.
That's a miracle. Unto Hebron, the Mount of God.
Yeah. So we talked about this over the book of Revelation. If we go over to chapter 2, listen to this now. I'm going to start in chapter 2, verse 18. It says this, and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. This is talking about judgment, okay? I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. It sounds good, doesn't it? But now go on. Notwithstanding, he says, in other words, but, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, this wasn't the Jezebel back in Elijah's day, but there was a spirit there, and they just called it Jezebel. It was on another woman. And I gave her, listen, I gave her space to do what? To repent of her fornication, and she repented not.
Isn't the church called like a woman?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. A woman, the bride of Christ.
And so is Israel, yeah.
And so is Israel. So, you know, there was this wicked Jezebel was was controlling.
That's right. She was controlling
and she
people.
She called herself well,
a prophetess.
A prophet.
And they let her speak in the church to this congregation
and this,
here.
This woman back here in Kings, she acted the same way.
That's right. Now, verse 22 in Revelation chapter 2 says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, listen to this now, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children, the children represents the offspring, with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold, what you already have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, that's Yeshua, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. I will give him the morning star, this is Yeshua, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Isn't that amazing when you think about all that? So here they are, they allowed her to speak, and she brought destruction to the church. Well, we know Jezebel's a controlling spirit. Well, what was Jezebel over there with Ahab? He married a pagan woman, and what happened? She was controlling. Amen? What else did Ahab do? Remember, he took the land away from a man that he wanted the land? And so Jezebel says, you let me, I'll take care of it. And so they made up a bad report about Naboth's vineyard and all that. And what happened? He wound up getting killed and he took his land.
But we can see that these spirits are in the last days. Because it also talks about we just talked about Balaam in the beginning of this reading.
That's right.
There's
Balaam
a doctrine of Balaam.
That's
and that's
right.
talked about also in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14.
That's right.
But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there then
them
that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught
Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel.
Wow.
To eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So the same thing, wasn't it, honey?
More of it.
But see, God got God got Balaam's tongue. He couldn't say anything but what God wanted him to say.
That's right. He only could prophesy God said.
So
praise
we,
God.
So we see that, you know, that Jezebel back in Elijah's day, this is hundreds of years in the future, and we see the Jezebel spirit still hanging around. All the ites we've talked about here on the program before, you know, that the Jews in Israel, when they came out and went into the promised land, who they had to destroy. Well, those ites, those spirits are still there. You can kill all the people, but what happens? The spirits are released out into the world, looking for someone else they can control. That's what we have today. Amen?
Well, let me go back to Kings and finish this chapter out, because now we're going to see the power come.
All right, that's
at the
good.
End of this, the end is, well, we've already seen some of the power, right?
That's right.
I mean, he looked up God took care of the water and
the
fire and the stones and the dust and the, you know, and the wood.
That's right.
And the sacrifice. And in verse 9 here, it says, and it came thither.
Now, you're back in chapter 19, right?
Back in chapter 19.
Okay, go ahead. Hey.
And he comes into a cave, and he lodges there.
Yeah.
And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Now, he's hearing the word of the Lord. And he said unto him, what
doest thou
here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, God of warfare, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only, poor guy.
Yeah, pity party.
He wasn't the only one.
No, he wasn't.
And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth, God's telling me, go forth, and stand up upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and the great And a great and strong wind rent the mountains. Wow, that's strong. And break in pieces the rocks, before the Lord. Whoa. Can you imagine standing there? Like an earthquake, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And you think about that now. We have the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
That still, small voice speaks to us
today.
That's
right. It sure does.
And it came, and it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And went out and stood in the entering in of the cave.
That mantle was probably a tallit.
Mm. And behold, he had a mantle. Remember, he had that mantle. And there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God."
Second time he's told him.
Second time.
Yeah.
God heard him the first time. "Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint
Hazael
to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of
Shaphat.
Mm-hmm. Of, I cannot pronounce that word.
Abel-Mehola.
Thou shalt anoint to be prophet in thy room. In other words, in your place. He's going to replace you.
That's right.
You know, you're just worn out. I guess it's time to get somebody else
That's
in there.
Right.
I've just added that in myself. 17. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of
Hazael
shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay.
He tells Elijah now that he's not the only one. Listen to that. Go ahead, honey. Verse 18.
Go ahead.
He says, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel."
7,000.
7,000.
Wow.
"All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen. There's 12 again.
Wow.
Man's, you know, God's number for government before him. And he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. It's probably his tallit, okay?
Just threw it on him.
And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he, this is Elijah, said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?"
Huh? Mm-hmm.
So what he was really saying, go back again because of what I've done to thee. He said, what are you wanting to go back for, you know? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them.
Those were valuable oxen.
Oh, yeah. And boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, which was the yoke they had, the wood, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he rose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. And if you study the scriptures out.
So they had a feast.
That's right. Elisha did exactly double the number of miracles that Elijah performed.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Wow.
He ministered to him. So he was mentored by Elijah for all that time.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So there were 7,000 that
had not bowed to Baal.
To Baal, or the doctrine of Balaam.
That's right.
You would call that.
That's right.
And
so we have an incredible event here that Elijah went through, and he listened to what God, he heard God at the beginning, and then he got in that cave and didn't hear for a while. And, you know, the storm came, and the rocks were split and all that. And then a small, still voice came, and that's what he heard.
So we can expect God speaks to us, usually, to our heart in that small, still voice.
That's
now, some people literally hear the voice, can verbally hear the voice of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but usually God speaks to us. He speaks to us through his spirit, to our spirit.
That's right.
You know, we can actually hear it in our spirit. And you say, how does that happen?
Yeah.
I don't know how it happens. It's spirit to spirit.
That's it.
See, that's why God says to us, and says in the New Covenant, it says that we need to we need to renew the spirit of our mind.
That's right.
God speaks to the spirit of our mind.
That's right.
And so it's not what we can figure out on our own or what knowledge we can get on our own. See, Solomon tried to do all that.
Sure did.
And he did all those crazy things and all the wrong things. And he, in the end, he said it was all foolishness. It was all vain. It was all vanity.
That's right.
So, but we need to renew the spirit of our mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's the only way we're going to hear from the Lord.
That's right.
It's by from spirit to spirit, from God's spirit to our spirit. See, all the loud stuff, all the earthquakes, all the noise, all the things that's going on around us, those things can busy us so and keep us from being able to hear the spirit of the God. Because he wants to speak to us. He wants to speak
all
to
the
everybody.
Time. He's wanting to speak
he doesn't
all the
just
time.
Speak to prophets.
Yeah.
You know, we have the spirit of God within us. In the Old Testament, God, I mean, there were some exceptions, but God normally spoke to only prophets, kings, and priests.
That's right.
But in the New Testament, it says that we are priests,
kings and priests. That's right.
And that God will speak to any of us,
Hallelujah.
All of us. And we don't have to be, we're not a prophet. There are prophets, but, you know, everyone can prophesy. That's why we hear talk, that's why the church is named, that's why God gave us the name Spirit of Prophecy.
That's right.
God wants to speak to all of his children.
That's right.
Through a prophetic word.
Now, one thing I thought about this week reading this article about rebuilding the altar. I think about in our congregation, on Friday night we have an altar up front, and what's on top of it? The Ten Commandments, which is the Word of God. So we have
and
to
the
restore.
Torah.
And the Torah. So we have to restore all that today. And that's just a symbol of what God would like to have. He wants his Torah, all those things put back in place to repair the breach in the altar that we have in
that's
our country.
Right. And we're to be repairers of the breach. And
so
that's what this radio program is about. You know,
that's
God
right.
hasn't thrown his Ten Commandments in the trash can.
He sure hasn't.
No, he hasn't erased them. He hasn't broken them.
That's right.
No, they are the same today as they were back then. And so we just thank the Lord. We're running out of time again today.
Sure goes
by
fast.
So we just want to thank the Lord for you all. And if you can give us a phone call. And if you'd like to send an offering, we certainly would be a blessing by that. So I'm going to give the phone number here. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. We have service today at 4 o'clock. We will have service again tomorrow morning
at 10.
On the Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And also on Friday nights at 7 p.m.
You might give them the mailing address again.
Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995. And you could just make it out to Spirit of Prophecy
Ministries.
Post Office Box 413.
And you'll be blessed not because of us, but because we're doing the Lord's work. And you'll have a reward one day in the kingdom
Amen.
Of God for everything that you put in that bank account in heaven. So we're honored to be here with you. And
don't forget, you can listen to this again. If you
that's
want,
right.
If you want to pick up any scriptures, you want to go over the notes, you can listen to us again on podcast. Go to WCNO.com, and you can go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard.
Amen.
Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton at 12 o'clock noon.
And we challenge you. You go read 1 Kings 18 for yourself and see
Amen.
What the Lord shows you and all that
and
about
19.
Your own personal life. And part of 19, you know, what Elijah went through. So as we close this program every week, we tell you we're on here because we love people. And we hope you got something out of this. I'm sure you did. And so we love you, and we thank you for listening in again this week. We'll be with you again next week at the same time. So we tell you what, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
And we tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.